live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Monday night. The Flames fall 4-3 on the road in Ottawa. Big reason for that, 9 minor penalties taken, and the Flames unable to play much of this game at all, 5-on-5. Plus, they went up against a very hungry Ottawa team that was dead set on snapping their losing skid at 5. Flames Talk postgame is underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Phone lines are open at 403-240-0444. Text lines open at 960-960. My name is Pat Steinberg. Let's welcome in Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Flames as well from Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa. And, you know, I think we knew, Mick, that the Sens were going to be a hungry team. And they were. They were hungry all night long. And maybe for a good chunk of this game, fair to say the Flames not able to maybe match that desperation level tonight.
Yeah, and I actually liked the Flames start, the fact that they scored the first goal and on the power play, which continues to be a strength, is, you know, the way that their power play has produced for them when they've needed it to. But then, yeah, just from there, I mean, there's way too many penalties. It's tough to win a hockey game or even get into a rhythm in a game when you're killing penalties for 18 out of 60 minutes. Like, that's you're sludging uphill when you put yourself in that situation. So to me, there just wasn't much rhythm, much flow because of the penalties. So, you know, that's definitely something you never want to take 9 penalties in a hockey game. So they know that it's an easy thing to fix. But at the same time, you often take penalties when you're not skating and you're not moving your feet. And I think we saw that from them. They just looked like they were skating in the mud a little bit and fighting it. And I mean, I know as a player, that I'm not making excuses for them by any means. It's the NHL, and you have to find ways to play well and to perform no matter what. But, you know, playing after traveling is a full travel day yesterday for the group after a big win on Saturday. So you're managing that energy, trying to get your legs going and get feeling good after a full day off yesterday, travel day as well. So I think we saw a little bit of that, a little bit of slow moving, kind of lack of skating. But another bright spot for me anyways was Dustin Wolf. I thought that he was absolutely incredible once again, especially the 5-on-3 kill that they had in that third period. He made some massive saves to allow them the opportunity to try to fight back in spite of all of the penalties.
I thought the goals that beat him tonight, none of them are clean either. So no. It's not like he let any in behind him that didn't get deflected 2 or 3 times or get pushed over to the opposite side. I'm with you. I thought it was a really strong night for Dustin Wolf once again. Mick, let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Which way are you leaning after a 4-3 loss to the Senators?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the fact that he had 4 minutes in penalties, but I did like his overall game, and that was Yegor Sharangovich. I just think that he was very impactful. He had 6 shots on net, 9 shot attempts, blocked a couple of shots as well, played almost 20 minutes up front. So thought that overall he had a really good game, had some really good chances too when the Flames were starting to kind of pour it on at the end of the second period, but then at the end of the third period as well. So thought he had a really strong game.
So Yegor Sharangovich is your hardest working Flame in this 4-3 loss on the road in Ottawa. First loss in 5 for the Flames, and a loss to start off this road trip. Mick, last one before we let you bounce here, and we'll maybe finish it on a positive note, and that is now 4 straight games with a power play goal. They're 5-4 their last 10 on the power play. Is it just as simple as the units changing up, or what else are we seeing on this power play that has allowed it to be so much more dangerous of late?
Well, I think it's that it's the unpredictability of the units. Like, other teams still don't have a big book on the plays that those units are running. So I think that there's still some of that, but they're just much more, they're a lot sharper. They're a lot quicker in their puck movement, in their execution, and they're not letting other penalty kills get set. And I would say for the most part, when they were on the power play in this game, the puck movement was really good. You know, it's sort of what you want is 2, 3, four maybe passes, and then you're getting the puck to the net, and then you're retrieving it, and then you go at it again. And so it's just been, you know, getting into the zone. They've done a good job of that, winning faceoffs on the power play in the offensive zone to start, and then just that really good puck movement with a shot mentality. I think that you know, you combine that with the competition between the two units, like you score, you're going back out there. There's definitely a lot of motivation there for players and a lot to be said for that.
Well, and the other thing is maybe don't spend as much time killing power plays on the other. That would help.
Yeah.
Okay, Mick, fly safe to Detroit. We will talk to you later this week. Hey.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
That is Megan Mickelson signing off from Ottawa, our nation's capital. I was going to say Detroit. She's not there yet. Signing off from Ottawa, where the Flames fall by a 4-3 score to the Ottawa Senators this evening. And they'll continue this four-game road trip Wednesday night in Detroit. That is where they're heading next. Our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota in the pregame show was, we were talking about the whole idea of the Flames needing to or having the opportunity to start this road trip on the right foot, continue the momentum they built on the homestand where they went 4-for-4. And they, for whatever reason, there could be a lot of different reasons for it. I think first of all, you got to give the Senators a ton of credit because Ottawa was really dialed, and you knew they were going to be desperate. Just some of the stuff that you heard out of that market from Travis Green, from Brady Tkachuk, and more, you just knew the Senators were going to be hungry in this game. So I don't think that was a surprise. And so, first of all, give credit to the opposition. But on top of that, Flames just weren't sharp, didn't match that same desperation, and they just got a little silly with the penalties. And honestly, I don't come away from this game saying the Flames got jobbed. I mean, could the Senators have taken one or two more? Could those have been called? I guess. But you take a look at the 9 penalties the Flames took as the Senators go 2-for-9 on the power play. I don't know which one of those were bogus. None of them in my eyes. I mean, they were all, like, I know Mackenzie Weegar was upset about the one where he tripped up Claude Giroux. That's going to be a call every single time when you interfere with them after breaking a stick. That's a penalty. And I mean, even the 5-on-3, that was a clear trip from Sharon Govich. You kind of have to call that one when you get behind the play. So I didn't feel like there was really much of anything that the Flames got called on that I thought were weak calls. I mean, maybe the Kuzmenko one that led to the first power play goal maybe would have been the softest, but I don't know. I mean, Lomberg got a stick right up into the face of Shabbat, and it was a sloppy night for the Flames. Their execution was not where it has been. I didn't mind the effort. You never mind the effort. I thought that they still were there to work. I still thought there was belief. I still thought that they, you know, left it all out there in terms of the actual effort side of things, but a little more sloppy than normal. Couldn't match the same desperation level as the Senators, and the Sens come away with what they needed, a victory to snap a losing skid at 5. That was your marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. Flames have scored power play goals on the other side of special teams in 4 consecutive games, so that's good news, but now that's a couple games in a row where they've allowed a power play goal, including multiple in this game. 2-for-9 go the Senators on the power play. Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Got some wide open phone lines. If you want to chat, call now, 403-240-4444. What did you see out there from the Flames and Senators? Your reaction to this one tonight. Phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's head back to Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa, where Ryan Huska gave his thoughts post-game. He just wrapped up, the head coach of the Flames, his thoughts following a 4-3 loss to the Senators.
Does this come down to anything more than discipline? Or?
We took 8 minor penalties. I don't care what league you're in, you're not going to win a hockey game or give yourself a chance to win, which, hey, 5-on-5, I thought we worked hard and we did some things, and there was the fight right to the end, which I'm pretty proud of our group, but we didn't really give ourselves a chance with the amount of penalties we were taking tonight.
difficult is that on the penalty killers?
It's not just the penalty killers, Parks. It's the other guys that don't kill penalties because they're sitting on the bench for long periods of time. So they're out of rhythm in a game. So you're overplaying certain guys, you're underplaying other guys, and then you're expecting them to pick up where you expect them to be, having been sitting on the bench for long periods of time.
In those final minutes, I mean, as you mentioned, they're still trying to kill off some of it, but you know, you're trying to get some chances there. Did you see enough? Did you see, you know, that fight in the guys?
Oh, they 5-on-5. Like I said, I thought they kept going as the game went on. We were down 2 goals, but they were there was no quit in the group. It's just, you know, shooting yourselves in the foot consistently with the penalties tonight. That's the story of the game.
And the challenge. Any debate on that?
Well,
we'll take the one.
Yeah, we'll take the one. I mean, we felt like Kirky's path was not to go into the crease, and he was pushed in. So in situations, from what we were understanding, was if he's pushed in or directed into a goalie, then that should have counted, but didn't. So
there you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game on the road in Ottawa following a 4-3 loss to the Senators. That's from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We'll take our first break on our Flames Talk post-game show. We'll let you know the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. I got a bunch of lines open, so if you call now, no busy signal if you want to chat on this Monday night. Lots of text to get to at 960-960. Come hang out with us on our Flames Talk post-game show on this Monday night. My name is Pat Steinberg. Lots more still to get to. Some more trips inside the Flames locker room and a whole lot more. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, so the win streak comes to an end for the Flames. It's snapped at 4 following a 4-3 loss on the road in Ottawa to kick off a 4-game road trip. What's going on? Flames Talk postgame is underway. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a few lines open. If you want to chat on this Monday night, call now. Text lines rolling. Keep those texts coming at 960-960. Yeah, I mean, look, you go up against a Senators team that was very much focused on snapping their losing skid, very desperately so, and you kind of get what you saw, I think, at least from the opposition in this game tonight. I thought the Flames were pretty sloppy, as we've talked about, and I thought maybe for the first time in a while, too many passengers in this game. I didn't like a number, like Kuzmenko struggled pretty mightily. Didn't love Kadri for a good chunk of this game. I know he scored the late goal to get back within one, but didn't love Kadri for a lot of the game. I didn't like the fourth line much. It's been a while since you could say that. The fourth line wasn't very strong with Lomberg, Rooney, and Kirkland. And then on the other side of things, I thought it was really important extremely promising to see another great game out of the Backlund line. Backlund, Sharangovich, and Coronado were absolute monsters in this game. They were by far Calgary's best line. 79% possession in this game. 5-on-5 attempts were 15-4 when the Backlund line was out there. Shots were 10-1. They outscored 1-0. Scoring chances were 9-2, including 4-0 at high danger. That was a great night for Backlund. That was a great night for Sharangovich, who scores again. That was a great night for Coronado, who just looks more and more and more and more like the NHL is the only place that he belongs. So that's another positive. But yeah, I thought Kuzmenko was pretty invisible. I thought Kadri struggled. I didn't like Pospisil anywhere near as much as I did on the homestand. So yeah, there were some, there were definitely more passengers tonight than there have been. And I don't know if it's passengers, like guys who weren't there to play. It was just a night where I didn't feel like maybe as many guys had their A game as we've seen recently. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room as we let the phone lines continue to fill up with a few lines still open. Let's hear from Rasmus Anderson. He spoke post-game tonight after a Flames 4-3 loss to the Senators.
Does this just kind of come down to discipline and special teams? How do you assess what went on here?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win when you have 20 penalty minutes, right? It's one third of the game in the penalty box, and you know, they have a good power play, but yeah, you know, I didn't think we were playing our best, even though 5-on-5. I think they were, you know, they were a desperate team, and they were a little bit more desperate than us to start, and then feels like after the first 10 minutes we finally got into rhythm, and then the penalty started coming, and yeah, it was tough after that, right? You know, I felt like every other shift you were playing was a PK, and so yeah, it's hard to win in this league if you're in the box for 20 minutes.
How taxing is that as a PK guy when you're spending that much time?
I mean, it sucks. You know, they have a lot of skilled players over there. You know, if you give them 9 opportunities, they're going to score one eventually, and they got 2, and yeah, I mean, I still think our PK did a pretty good job. I mean, we have nine PKs, 5-on-3, a 4-minute minor, and you know, yeah, it sucks. Honestly, as I said, it felt like every other shift was a PK shift, and yeah, it's hard to win this league.
Did you like the way you guys? Still continue to claw and scratch. I know there's no silver linings, but the idea of sticking around.
Yeah, I think we just ran out of time, honestly. I mean, our last one of our last PK ends with 3.5 to go, and we got to score 2 goals. And I mean, we gave it our all until the end. But yeah, it's one of these games. You leave behind you and you move on.
Yeah, and as you heard there from Ras, I still thought they left it all out there. Just maybe not quite the same execution as we've seen on a more regular basis of the last little while. Too much time in the penalty box, without question. That absolutely killed them. Because I did think 5-on-5 was a pretty even hockey game. When it was all said and done, Flames finished 51.3% on 5-on-5 ozone possession. Final 5-on-5 shot attempts were 40-38 in favor of Calgary. Final high-danger scoring chances at 5-on-5 were 6-5 Calgary. So both teams did a very good job of keeping things to the outside. It was very much a chess match in that regard tonight. Overall, though, high dangers were 11-9 Ottawa because they popped a bunch on the power play because they had so many damn power play opportunities, right? They got 33 medium danger scoring chances in this game and 11 of them from the slot. So, you know, at 5-on-5 to limit a team with Tim Stützle the way he's playing, Brady Tkachuk, how fired up he was, Drake Batherson and how he's going, and more, Claude Giroux, so on and so forth, to limit that group to just 5 high dangers at 5-on-5, you did some of the job in that regard. But, you know, when your 5-on-5 game doesn't really get a chance to get into a rhythm, and the penalty kill, as Ras said, feels like every other shift is a PK shift, yeah, it's going to be tough to get into any type of 5-on-5 rhythm, which was a big point of this game tonight. Okay, phone lines are open. We got a couple people on the line, but if you want to jump in, call now, 403-240-4444. We'll take calls for as long as you want to get in line and for as long as you want to come on the line with us. So give us a call at 403-240-4444. And now to the text line we go at 960-960 for the first time tonight following this 4-3 loss in Ottawa. This from Alex in Ottawa, who's back for the first time this season, says, frustrating how many penalties they took tonight, and they got a bit goalied by a team that was in desperate need of a win, but I'm encouraged by the season they're having and the progress they've made in their retool/rebuild or whatever. Keep it up, Flames. # Sea of Red. That comes from Alex in Ottawa. I honestly didn't feel like they did get goalied. Didn't feel like Forsberg stole this one. Thought Forsberg was fine. Gave the Sens a chance to win, just like Wolf gave the Flames a chance to win, but I didn't feel like they got goalied in this game. I didn't feel like Forsberg stole this one. Here's Scotty in Victoria. Way too many penalties, Pat. They can't be playing that type of game. They essentially played a third of the night shorthanded. 9 penalties. I had a feeling they were going to lose this one against a desperate Ottawa team, but not happy with the effort. Half of those penalties were avoidable. Wolf played well considering the circumstances. Let's clean it up and win the next one. That comes from Scotty in Victoria. Here's Kyle, who says tonight wasn't their night. Something felt off the entire game. I can't quite say what, but it felt like they were fighting it, almost as if they were just a half second off, in the right places, doing the right things, but just slightly off. Can't win them all, though. Wolf did what he could to keep them in it, but it just wasn't there for them tonight. Not going to win them all. Learn from it and move on. I like the way Kyle puts it, actually. Like, just did feel like something was a little off. And felt like, you know, things were, timing was just a little off, and execution just a little off. That's not usually an effort thing, but it happens over the course of 82 games. This from Stafford, who was watching in Red Deer tonight. Pat, this was not the identity this young squad had been creating for itself. Ottawa was full measure for the victory. The Flames, on the other hand, outworked, lost the puck battles, and chased the game all night. Ottawa played Calgary's game, and they did it better than Calgary did. It's a new game on Wednesday. Hopefully the real Slim Shady shows up. This comes from Trent. Just a really frustrating game tonight. Oh, well, can't win them all. Will the Flames ever get that fourth goal again? This reminds me more of 04 than 14. Seriously, they play that 04 Sutter hockey, winning games 2-1, 3-1, not the run-and-gun Hartley-style hockey. This is going to be a grind of a season on to the next game. And to Trent's point, that is now 19 consecutive games where the Flames have not scored more than 3. They got to that magic number of 3 tonight, but 19 straight without scoring more than 3. This from Rick in Lakeview. Well, Pat, it would seem that the airline lost the team's luggage containing speed and hustle tonight. Hopefully it can be found by the time they reach Detroit. They kept penalties to single digits, barely. Ouch. If I was coaching, I'd have everyone practice getting the puck out of their zone while on the PK without appearing to have a broken wrist. Here's to a much better game Wednesday. Go Flames, go. Noah from Kelowna says, we'll see who the real fans are here. It was a tough one, but even the best teams have tough games like that. The only thing that irks me is seeing Wolfie post under a 900 save percentage, because I'm all about seeing him push for the Calder. And yeah, it's still early, but that would be legendary if he does it. Go Flames. Thanks, Patty. Fair enough. And you know, he's going to have other games this year where he's sub 900 as well. It's just the name of the game when you're starting more games than you have at any point in his NHL career. This comes from Tim, also in Ottawa. Pat was at the game tonight and was hoping after the first goal they would be off to a good start. That challenge really killed the buzz, and they took way too many penalties after that. Thought Wolf played hard to keep him in it, especially at 5-on-3. Thought the refs were suspect, but even still, 6 legit penalties is way too much. Hope for a more disciplined game in Detroit. This reads, Backlund was awesome tonight, and I agree, he was. This reads, why didn't they start Vladar tonight? Honestly, because Wolf's been in such a groove. Vladar played well, but remember, this has been a tandem. Vladar played well on Saturday, but this always seemed like a place to go back to Wolf. I think they go to Vladar Wednesday against Detroit because this remains a tandem, and that is really important to remember. Unless a guy is so lights out that you have to go back to him, I think the tandem remains when you've got two guys giving you an opportunity to win like Vladar and Wolf are. And I think you go back to Vladar against Detroit, and unless it's so good that you got to keep him in there, you're probably right back to Wolf on Friday afternoon in Columbus. Here's from Sean in North Bay, Ontario. Was at the game tonight. Kadri looked like he was stuck in the mud. Kuzmenko looked lazy. Team was just sloppy tonight. The Kuzmenko thing is starting to get worrisome. He scored that shootout goal against the Islanders. Now 3 straight games, hasn't seemed to spark him. Kuzmenko looks invisible at best a lot of nights, and sometimes worse. And when he's been visible, very rarely has it been for good reasons. Kuzmenko's got to pick it up. He's too important to what this team does offensively. And from a Flames standpoint, you also are probably looking like, if you're going to try to flip Kuzmenko, you're not getting much for him right now. If you try to make a move, they need much more from 96 here going forward. And speaking of which, Colin in Calgary, Pat, are they going to sit Kuzmenko at some point? Don't think you'll get through to him if you keep running him out there. I don't know. Maybe that is something, Colin, they do decide, because he has not been an impact maker, or at least a positive impact maker, on a very regular basis since like early October. Negative impact maker, yeah, that's happening. Positive impact maker, rarely right now. This reads, Flames have built up their performance bank account so you can let tonight's game go. Just wasn't their night, but man, I still think that disallowed goal was a toss-up call at best. Not a lot of outs for Kirkland there. On to the next one, they'll be fine. I think that's fair. I do think it was a toss-up. I think the reason why it was the right call, that was from Michael, by the way. I think the reason why that was the right call, Michael, is because mainly they called it a no goal on the ice. And I don't know if it was definitive enough to overturn. Whereas the overturn goal on Brady Tkachuk's first period power play goal, that one was easy. It was conclusive. Batherson clearly interfered with Wolf. Good challenge, easy wave off. And that one was conclusive. I don't know if it was conclusive enough on the Kirkland goalie interference. The Flames were trying to challenge wasn't interference. I don't know if that was conclusive enough. My boy Justin in Valley View. These games happen. They just had a great homestand. Let's put it behind them and move on. That comes from our boy Justin. This from, so lots of people from Ottawa. I like it. Lots of people were at the game. This from Scott in Ottawa. Was it the game tonight in Ottawa? Flames were off for sure. However, aside from the penalties, still could have had it. Miramanov looked pretty good tonight. Kuzmenko, not so much. Yeah, not a lot of Kuzmenko love right now. This says we might... I'm not even prompting this. These all came in before we even started talking about it. We might be starting to realize why Vancouver got rid of Kuzmenko. So there's just a little bit at 960-960 on the text line. Keep the text coming. 960-960. It's your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on a Monday night following a 4-3 Flames loss on the road in Ottawa. Phone lines 403-240-4444. We're pretty wide open on the phone lines. We're pretty wide open on the phone lines tonight. If you want to call, you won't get a busy signal right now. If you want to chat on this Monday, one more time, 403-240-4444. Kyle is up with us first on this Monday night. What's up, Kyle?
Oh, I'm on.
You are on.
Oh, first time caller. I've never done it.
Oh, welcome aboard. What's going on?
Good. I thought they did really good. I mean, as a whole, not so much at the end there. That was a lot of penalties, I thought. But the goalie tandem thing, I think Wolf is doing good, and he's giving you a lot of chances and a lot of reasons to keep him in there. I think we got to sell Vladar while he's high, really. What do you think?
I don't know if it's quite there yet. Like, I don't think it's time to make a move on Vladar quite yet, unless you get a deal that clearly meets your criteria. I don't know if they will yet. I think if they could get a second or a third, then maybe we're talking on a Vladar front, but I don't know if we're there yet, just because we're still pretty early in the season. He's been good. Well, he hasn't been incredible though, you know?
No, I know, but I remember your last one, you guys were talking about that a lot, and I thought, you know, Devin Cooley's doing really good in the AHL as well. And, I mean, why not get some assets? Like, if we get a high first round, Montreal's just going to get our first round the next year. So why not shoot for that bubble playoff spot? I mean, don't cash in.
No. They would give up their pick this year to Montreal.
Yeah. But if we're in the top 10, I believe Montreal.
No, they get Florida's pick this year if Calgary's top 10 in the draft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the condition that if this year, if the Flames are a top 10 pick, they keep their pick and Florida's pick goes to Montreal. If the Flames are outside of the top 10, it's whatever the highest pick is that goes to Montreal. So if the Flames are 11 and the Panthers are 31, then the 11th goes to Montreal.
Oh, okay. I see. So that's kind of a nail-biter too. I mean, I still think we have a solid team. I think they could definitely move some people, especially that third line. There's some people looking for a new home, like Zegras or David Yurecek. I've heard there's buzz around him. And
yeah, I heard Yurecek from Sarah Valley when he was on our sister station in Vancouver. So I saw that. I don't is the way the blue line's playing right now, I don't know, is Juracek the type of guy that they would need to bring in? Would he be number one? I mean, he's a former first-round pick, so if you're buying low, I don't think you could ever get enough depth on the blue line.
Exactly. I mean, especially with that third pair. I mean, nothing against Hanley. He's okay, but, you know, that Bean-Berry spot, it's kind of a big toss-up, and if you get a solid guy like Juracek who's playing like a top four.
The only problem that I'd have with that is, I mean, and maybe you could move Hanley in a deal or something like that to make that happen. The only problem I'd have with that is that you are jamming up things in the American League, and they're already pretty jammed up down there. Like, they already had to send Yoni Yermo to the ECHL because they didn't have enough room for him with the Wranglers. So I think...
Oh, yeah, and Solyov, is that how you say his name? He's been pretty decent, too, as well.
They had to send one young defender already down there, and now all of a sudden, if they say they did acquire Juracek and they've got to send a Hanley or somebody like that to the AHL, well, now you've got another veteran down there, and now it's making it even more difficult for younger players to get big minutes, and that's crucial for this organization as well. If you're talking about a center iceman and a forward, I think there's a little bit more I think you can see them making that move a little bit more naturally. And I'm not saying going and getting Juracek if he's available would be bad. You can never use enough young defensemen. I just don't know if it's as much of a need. But at the same time, you know, you're still looking to capitalize on some market inefficiencies. And if you're buying low, I wouldn't mind it. It just would maybe make things a little bit more complicated with their kind of organizational depth chart.
Well, I think we got a lot of depth with veterans, and I don't think, I mean, not to say anything, but I mean, if you rolled a couple heads and we're in a league where everybody's hungry for defensemen and goaltending, there's like a lot of high scoring games. And if we sold those veterans and did get a lot of young guys up there, I mean, I don't know if you really want to mess with Uyghur and Miramanov or Anderson and Ball. But that's that third pair. I mean, you could put some young guys there. And, I mean, playing with guys like Hanley and, I mean, Bean's okay. But, like, some young guys in there would be good. And
well, I mean, let's not forget.
You got some huge trade chips.
Neither Bean nor Pahal are what you would consider old. Bean's 26. And Pahal is a little younger. So it's not like we're talking about a really veteran third pair. Pahal's 25. So you got a 25 and a 26-year-old. Like, you're not talking about super old guys by NHL terms on that third pair when those guys are in. Hanley and Barry are both over 30. But, yeah, on the Bean and Pahal front, they are a little younger. My guess is one of Bean or Barry goes back in Wednesday in Detroit, too.
Yeah, they've been tossing those up pretty good. I mean, it's kind of hard to shop for a centerman too. I think Zari's filling that role pretty good.
I agree.
He's looking really good out there. And the young guys all around, it seems like a lot of buzz. Honestly, there's a lot of hate on Kadri last call too. And I mean, I could see it though. He's done a lot for Calgary, and I mean, if he wants to go back home, I've heard buzz about that too.
I mean, I've heard some people suggest, like, would it be a fit? I don't know if, I mean, it would have to be Brad Treliving coming to Conroy and saying, we'd really like Kadri, as opposed to the Flames shopping Kadri. I don't think that's something they're interested in doing right now. And especially right now, you know, depending on the way things look come the trade deadline, that can always change. But right now, I don't think they're shopping anybody who's a key contributor like that.
Yeah, no, he's done really good for the Flames and the wingers, and I mean Kuz, he's gonna come along. I mean, there's bursts of excellence there for sure. I think when he does have the puck, he has hands. But yeah, he's been maybe in his own head. I mean, we had a year like that with Goudreau. It's just outside noise maybe getting to him. You just gotta hope that he snaps out of it.
I haven't really even been all that down on Kadri's year, honestly. Is that, we're still talking about Kadri, right?
Oh, Kuzmenko.
Oh, Kuzmenko. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Oh yeah, Kuz. I said sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, that's my bad. yeah, I don't. I mean, look, that's Kuzmenko had a good finish to last year, but generally he had a really frustrating year last year too. And now we're seeing it this year. So I don't know. I don't. The Kuzmenko thing's starting to become a little more than, like, I don't want to say worrying because he's on an expiring contract, so it's not like you're tied to him, but it has been frustrating to watch him play because he's not really helping you very often, and more often than not, but even sometimes he's hurting you. So, like, rarely is he making a positive impact. Sometimes he's making a negative impact. Yeah, it's been not so good.
Yeah, handling the puck so much does that. I mean, You gotta move it or dump it, you know, get it on net, which he was usually pretty good at. I mean, I thought they all had bursts of excellence at the end of season last year, and I thought that was gonna bleed into this year, which it did. And you know, Calgary's really just not getting their flowers, especially on Spit and Chicklets. They never talk about us, but the second Edmonton does something, they're all over them, and the record's not even that great.
Like, I can't control what the boys on Chicklets are saying. Although we know that Biz is a big Flames guy, so there's always that. I appreciate the call tonight, Kyle. Good stuff. Call back anytime. Hey,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, call back anytime. Good stuff, bud.
Yeah, you have a good one, man.
You too, man. 403-240-4444. Biz has a couple times been very, and by the way, I know that he put out a video, but I hope Biz is doing all right. I know there was something that happened in Scottsdale, and he got jumped by a few guys and had to go to hospital. Looks like he's doing all right, which is good to see, but hope Biz, you know, big part of those TNT broadcasts and more. Obviously, Spit and Chicklets. Hopefully, Biz, Paul Bissonnette's doing all right. Saw him post a video. He looks like he's doing all right, but still want to pass on best wishes to Biz on this Monday night. But yeah, he's already said he's going to pull out the jersey again and get on the Flames bandwagon. Let's say hello to Terry at 403-240-4444, following a Flames 4-3 loss on the road in Ottawa. What's up, Terry?
Oh, howdy, Pat. Here's the thing. My concern is the lack of scoring. And the reason I say that is because Huberdeau is leading in the goal scoring category.
Just like we all would have drawn up.
Yeah, but 7 goals is the maximum.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, they're not going to be a high scoring team at any point this year. I think that's probably fair to say, Terry. I do think they probably can score a little bit more than they have this year, but I don't know how much more. But yeah, we're talking about now a pretty tough to wrap your head around 19 straight games where they haven't scored more than 3. Look, again, I don't know how much this team is ever going to be a high-scoring group this year. That's just not really in their DNA, but it definitely is. It definitely makes things a little bit more difficult when you're playing really low-scoring games all the time. It makes that margin of error really, really slim, and that's kind of been the story of this Flames season so far. They have more often than not, they've been able to be fine with it. But yeah, they're not scoring a ton. I don't know if that is necessarily something that's going to change, however.
Yeah, because right now their goals for is below 3 for the season.
Yes. Oh no, Terry, I'm very aware, well aware, they're not scoring a lot of goals right now.
Well, it reminds you of a long time past when we had a goalie by the name of Kiprasov, where the team had a trouble for a couple of years of scoring goals. And if Kiprasov had to have that minuscule goals against average to keep the team winning games. Remember his first year, I think it was a 1.69 goals against average. Set the modern day record, and the year after that was barely over 2.
He was something, Terry. That was quite the treat when he was here.
Absolutely. Now, I'm just shaking my head tonight because they never showed up, to put it bluntly. When you look at how they played against the Rangers and then they come and lay this egg, hopefully it's not a sign of things to come for the rest of the road trip. Because, you know, I heard people say, oh, well, Ottawa was hungry, so what?
You know, yeah,
we had
a
4-game winning streak on the line too, and when you're on a winning streak, you're supposed to show up.
Yeah, and I don't even think it was, at least in my eyes, it wasn't like they didn't show up. In my eyes, it's just Sometimes you're, I felt they were off tonight, and you're going to be off over the course of a season. I think that is, it just happens over 82 games. Now, the question is, are they able to, okay, they were off tonight, and for whatever reason that happens, and now they got to make sure that, you know, okay, so they were off tonight, and now you make sure that you're back on. There's a whole lot less travel and all that type of stuff going into the game against the Red Wings, so make sure that you're a whole lot less off when they play on Wednesday night.
Well, am I remembering incorrectly that over the past few years we've had trouble with Ottawa?
Oh no, you're not remembering.
Even though they're a bottom
feeder. Now you're not remembering incorrectly. The biggest or the most frustrating year where they just couldn't figure it out against the Senators, if you remember correctly, or if you remember, Terry, it was that season where they were playing with no fans, the 56 game season. They were only playing teams in Canada. And that was a year where they just couldn't beat the Senators for the life of them. Was a big reason why they missed the playoffs that year.
Yep. They lost five or something like that.
I believe they lost 6 of 9. I think they were, I think they were 3-5-1 against Ottawa that year.
It was terrible. Oh, well, it's only one game and we're only 22 in, but we've got to be careful because those pesky guys to the north are finally deciding to play.
Yeah, and I don't know if I look at, in my eyes, Terry, I don't know if I look at the Oilers as being like a big threat to Calgary to miss or make the playoffs. Like I think I kind of just have Edmonton in, and that's not a guarantee. Like, you take a look at it right now in the Pacific Division, the three Pacific Division teams are Vegas, Calgary, and Los Angeles. And Vegas won, so they extend their lead on top of the division to 3 points. They won tonight, came from behind to beat Philly in a shootout. Flames lose in regulation. Kings are underway as we're talking right now. And then you've got Colorado and Edmonton in the wild cards. Like right now, the team that is maybe a little bit more of a threat for me is Vancouver, based on what they did last year. If the Canucks all of a sudden find their game, they'd be the team that would maybe concern me the most of knocking the Flames out, because I kind of feel like the Oilers, by hook or by crook, are going to be there. But that's it. That's just me. Well, you're right. They are starting to win some more games here.
Well, yeah, McDavid was out for what, 6?
What's that? Yeah, he missed however many games he missed. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he missed 6 total. But that's the way it goes. And I'll let you go. And we'll talk to you another time. I'll give somebody else a chance. Bye for now.
Okay, Terry. See you, man. Appreciate it as always. As the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Let's say hello to Raj following this 4-3 loss in Ottawa. What's up, Raj?
Hey, bud. How's it going?
Good, bud.
Long time no call. I don't think I've called in maybe one or two seasons.
Yeah, it's been a while. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, not much. Just, you know, kind of observing the Flames from a distance. I just recall, you know, one of those really huge Robert rants when he was, you know, quite upset at management.
Yeah, I remember some of those calls.
I wanted to just address the Kadri situation. Now, Doug McLean said over the weekend, you know, as you mentioned earlier with another caller, that the Flames are not necessarily shopping Kadri, but that Treliving is interested in Kadri. The one thing that McLean mentioned is that ownership is kind of sour on Treliving for the Huberto contract. So I'm wondering, could that be a deterrent, or could that be a hindrance?
Yes.
If the Flames were trying to move Kadri to Toronto.
Again, I don't think the Flames are trying to move Kadri to Toronto. I think Treliving would have to come with an offer that is like, okay, this makes sense for us. And then you gotta go from there. I think that there's a little bit of some ill will. Maybe that's the wrong term. I still think there's maybe a little bit of the fact that it's less just for the Huberto contract and more just the way it ended, where Tree left, didn't re-sign team, and then decided to go to Toronto. I think that also maybe bad blood is too harsh, but maybe some slight hurt feelings or something like that. That's probably fair to say as well.
Just in terms of Huberto, with the last caller talking about scoring, before, you know, I was looking at before the outlier season where Huberto had 115 points, you know, he was still over a point a game player. So I'm just wondering, you know, with Huska's style, you know, these low-scoring games, is he making Huberto or defensive player, or do you see in games where Huberto's not scoring or if he's turning the puck over that maybe down the road or whatever it might be that it just may not be a fit here?
I don't know. That's a really fair... I mean, I think that definitely there is some... there's definitely some him not being a fit. Like, it has not necessarily been a fit at any point during his time here as a member of the Flames. So I think there's a little bit of that. However, I do feel like defensively this year, he's been a little bit better. And first of all, Huberto's leading the team in goals. So on a very low-scoring team, he's actually leading the team in goals right now. And did Uyghur get a point tonight? No, he did not. So he's actually leading the tied for the team lead in points as well. So, you know, it has not been the fit that anybody was hoping, for sure. But I do feel like this year, even though the offense is still not where you want it to be, and I think he's on pace for even fewer points this year than he was last year, which was fewer than the year before, I do feel like he's doing a little more to help or a little bit more to impact the game positively when he doesn't have the puck and when he's not producing. I do think there's been more of that here this season.
Yeah, I can see that as well. And just putting on your GM hat, I guess, I know it's very, very early. Let's assume the Flames do make the playoffs and they finish, you know, maybe top three in the Pacific and they end up hosting, you know, game one and game two of the playoffs in a first round situation. Given, you know, the off season, you know, whatever happens in the playoffs happens. But I mean, you know, how long do you think this mishmash can work? You know, you've got veterans, but it looks like the kids are driving the bus. The cap's supposed to go up. The Flames, Conroy, have a lot of cap space. If you're Conroy, what do you think you kind of do over the summer for next year?
Well, I mean, I think more than anything else, they need to find some more center ice help. They need to find some more guys who can play center down the middle in more high leverage roles. They need to find their number one center at some point. That's going to be almost certainly via the draft, but that needs to happen at some point. And they probably need another one center. Even if Zeri ends up panning out the way that they're hoping he will, they probably still need one more center, young center that can play kind of the middle six center ice minutes as well. So they're going to need to find that. I don't really have a problem with the mishmash of veterans and young players as it stands right now. And, you know, some of those young players, some of those veterans are signed rather long term here. So not necessarily easy to move off of those players. And then the other thing is it all kind of depends on how the rest of the season goes. I mean, they're still 5 games above 500. They're still sitting second in the Pacific Division. So where are they at the end of the year? Do they just miss? Are they in and, you know, there's some positivity? Or do they miss like last year by a significant amount? I mean, there's still a lot that needs to be determined before you can, you know, there's a lot of hypothetical in there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's still lots of hockey to be played for sure.
Exactly.
All right, Pat, that's all I got for tonight. Have a good night. Talk again.
Okay, buddy, be well. We'll talk. Call back soon, Raj. Don't all be right. A stranger.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. See you, man.
See you.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 if you want to chat on this Monday night. Flames fall 4-3 on the road in Ottawa with Anand up next. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, Patty. How are you this evening?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Good, thank you. What did you think of the game tonight? Totally different compared to the past 4 games we have played.
I thought effort-wise was still there. I still thought that, you know, they left it all out there. Just maybe they were more off. They felt like they were, I think a texter earlier used the term fighting it, and that's the way I would phrase it as well. Felt like they fought it a whole lot more. There were more players that were kind of not there dragging in the right direction or not being as positively impactful as we've seen. And when you're a team that doesn't have the elite skill, and all of a sudden two or three lines are off like they were tonight, then it becomes a whole lot more difficult. And so I think that's what we saw a good chunk of in this game tonight. So I didn't think, like, not lazy. I didn't feel like there was a lack of effort. I just felt like, you know, they were just off. They fought it a little bit more. Their execution was not at the same level. That happens over the course of 82 games. Not saying that as an excuse, because you can say that happens when it's one game. Now the challenge is for the Flames to not let that happen more than once on this road trip.
Gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. And then my second question for you, the penalties that they took, I know they took a whopping 9 of them. Do you think it was more just responsive retaliation, or do you think it was part of the fighting it off tonight?
I think it was the fact, like, because they were fighting it, they found themselves behind the play a whole lot more, and that's when you take a lot of the penalties the Flames took tonight. So you go take a look at the final... I'm just going to pull up the game sheet again. When you take a look at the final count of penalties, so you had the, you know, balls over the glass one, that's just bad luck. They had the delay a game, which is on the unsuccessful challenge, so that obviously is cut and dried. Then you had they took the two players, they took both Pahal and Huberdeau from that scrum. But then as the game went along, high sticking for Kuzmenko, he was behind the play there. Sharangovich elbowing, he was chasing on that play. Uyghur interference, bad luck because he broke his stick, but he did interfere with Giroux after he got caught after the bad luck. Lomberg was just, you know, it happens. He's a little irresponsible with the stick, and unfortunately it cut open Shabbat, but that was cut and dried. And then Sharangovich for tripping to make them go down 5-on-3. Again, he was behind the play on the penalty kill, and it was a clear trip. So it was more a product for me of them fighting it as opposed to them being overly aggressive tonight.
Gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. And then final question for you. Are you going with if you were Ryan Husk, are you going with Dan Vladar on Wednesday, or would you give a shot at Dustin Wolf again?
I'm going to Vladar on Wednesday, and then kind of going from there. But, you know, I thought Wolf was very strong tonight. Didn't think he was poor, but, you know, I think it's pretty easy to go back to Vladar.
Yeah, especially the three consecutive saves he made. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, we didn't fault any goals in it. All right, sounds good, Pat. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a good night, and talk to you on Wednesday.
Okay, and appreciate it, buddy. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 following tonight's 4-3 Flames loss on the road in Ottawa. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Speaking of Dustin Wolf and goaltending, it's time for tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. After he started three straight, got a rest Saturday against Minnesota. Back in between the pipes was Dustin Wolf tonight, and his save of the game comes in period at number 3.
Anderson falls again as Tkachuk picks it up, goes to the backhand and shoots, is stopped, and now Sanderson is shot. It's fought off by Wolf. He's doing everything he can to keep the Flames close.
And that is one of the 25 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight. That's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. And I thought a solid night. I mean, the goals that go in on Wolf, none of them beat him clean. They were all kind of either goal mouth scrambles, fortuitous bounces. One was a double redirect. The other was all the Flames players getting caught on one side of the ice, leaving way too easy of a 2-on-1 down low, and no chance for Wolf on that one. So I thought it was a quality start for Wolf. Not his best, but I thought he was very strong, gave him an opportunity to win, but the team in front of him not quite as on as they have been. But I do think it's a pretty easy choice to go to Dan Vladar Wednesday in Detroit. I'll say this, last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now is the time to do so. 403-240-4444. If you want to jump in, you still have time, but it is last call. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, call now. 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming as well. 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score from our nation's capital tonight. Flames fall 4-3 to the Senators. Win streak snapped. at four games. They'll try to get back on track Wednesday in Detroit. Right now, though, we're talking about this one-goal loss on the road in Ottawa, where the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and the text line's open at 960-960. Keep your text coming, and it is last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. One more trip inside the Flames locker room on this Monday night. Let's hear from Nazem Kadri, who got the Flames back within one with about 40 seconds to go. Here is Nazem postgame in Ottawa.
How do you assess that game from your vantage point?
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny game, a little, just a little bit odd with all the penalties and obviously some challenges and some whistles. So I don't think the rhythm isn't great. I mean, you're in the box for a full period. I don't think you're going to win many games, but it was a great fight. By us, we stayed in it, but we gotta be a little more disciplined.
Yeah, it just kind of stifles any kind of momentum, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, full period of penalties, you know, killing off. That's a tough job for the PK to do. We kind of hung him out to dry a little bit today, but we'll be better for it.
The start, what did you make of your start overall? I know it's first on the road. Was the energy the way you liked it?
I think it was okay. I mean, we hung around. Towards the tail end of the period, maybe a little bit better, but I mean, you got to expect a desperate team. They've lost five straight on home ice, you know. Obviously, they're going to come out pushing, and they obviously had some focus on that. So, with that being said, I think we, you know, had an okay first period. Just got to stay out of the box.
Did it feel like you had the chances, you know, late as that game kind of wore on to find that equalizer?
Yeah, I think we had some opportunities. I mean, we'd liked a little bit more zone time, but, we had some looks, we made some saves, and, unfortunately, we were just a little bit too late tonight.
There you go. That is Nazem Kadri postgame, our final look inside the Flames locker room on this Monday night. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. Peter in Tuscany says, your caller Terry has to chill. You can't win them all. They weren't even supposed to be where they are anyways. What else we got here at 960-960? This is from Rob in Lethbridge. After a game like that, Huska will probably switch out one or two guys. What do you think? Yeah, I think there'll be a change on the back for sure. My guess is Hanley comes out and maybe Barry comes in. They haven't had Barry in for a while, so feel like maybe Tyson Barry is the guy who could come back in Wednesday in Detroit. That wouldn't surprise me, but I think they probably make the one change on the back. On forward, I don't know if they do make any changes. It wouldn't be a complete surprise if they did. But, yeah, I mean, the fourth line has generally been pretty good with Kirkland, Rooney, and Lomberg. It wasn't great tonight. I thought it really struggled tonight, but that's the first time in a while that it has struggled. So I don't know if you need to make a change on the fourth line. Maybe they do, but I don't know if that's as necessary. The one change you could make is maybe you take Rooney out and put Klapka in on the right side, move Kirkland back to center. Could see something like that. We'll see. This says, wish they still had Cole Schwint, Pat, center with size. It's Connie's lone misstep to my eyes so far. The only thing I would say is, and I do think, I think that Kirkland and Morton made it so that the Flames felt they could lose Schwint if they had to. So I don't think they've missed him necessarily because of how well Kirkland has come in to play that fourth line role. That being said, you always want the depth. But I don't think Schwint would ever be the guy that we're talking about in terms of the type of player the Flames might like to acquire down the middle. If they're going to look and try to find a center iceman, it's going to be somebody who is in the age range of like 22 to 24, ideally. And a guy who can play higher up the lineup. I don't know if Schwint projects higher than kind of a fourth line center at the NHL level. Maybe a number three center, or maybe he's a winger. But I think you're looking for somebody that can play. Again, you know, we talk about Ottawa. Shane Pinto is a name that comes to mind. A guy that can maybe play a little higher up the lineup and kind of be in that 2-3 range as opposed to maybe being in that number four range. This reads from Shubes. Felt like tonight was more of a Senators win than a Flames loss. Desperate team in Ottawa with fans on edge. Not an excuse for the Flames' lack of discipline. Way too many penalties. Penalty kill is kryptonite for this team, even with Wolfie in net. Overall, solid game. Wolf played well. Defense was mid, but can't win every game. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Shubes. I thought it was more of a Senators win as opposed to a Flames loss in that respect, because I thought that the Sens played desperate and were fully deserving of the win, and they needed to play that type of hockey. This one comes from Brad on this Monday night at 960-960. Sit Rooney, Kirkland play center, bring back Klapka. If this team is intent on playing younger players, why is Rooney taking up a fourth line spot? Also, is Coleman playing injured that you know of? He's been pretty much invisible for a few games now. Have a good night. That comes from Brad. On the Coleman front, don't believe he's playing through anything. I don't believe he's injured. I mean, guys are always playing through something, it feels like, over the course of an NHL season, but don't believe there's anything significant that he's playing through, at least to my knowledge. There could be, but not that I know of. Although I did not love Coleman tonight. I thought that line got better as the night went along, but I thought early on, I thought Coleman fought it a little bit, but again, he wasn't the only guy who fought it tonight. But, and I thought that line with Coleman and Zeri and Huberdeau got a little bit more impactful as the night went along. As for putting Klapka in, again, fourth line's been very good. And Rooney's been a part of that. Rooney's also a big part of their penalty kill. He's over the boards first with Backlund. I don't know if one loss means you got to take Rooney out. I might keep it the same going into Detroit on Wednesday. This says from Ash, despite the loss, I thought Wolf played with confidence and poise, didn't look rattled at all after giving up four goals against. So that comes from Ash. And finally from Ali says, does the rotation in the crease continue or do they go back to Wolf? For me, I would go to Vladar and keep the rotation going. That's also my guess as to where the Flames go in this next game, Detroit Wednesday. I think they also keep the rotation going and go back to Vladar. Okay, great stuff tonight on the text line at 960-960. Always appreciate it. And now back to the phone lines for a few more calls. Flames fall 4-3 in Ottawa. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's say hello to Jamie on the text line tonight. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, Patty, how you doing? Long time no talk, man.
Good to have you. What's going on?
Well, you know, I guess I just kind of wanted to chime in on what I've seen so far this year. Like I'm full-time, lifelong Calgarian like you, and every Flames game I've ever watched, I've wanted them to win. And I know that Connery isn't putting together a team to try to tank. This guy was part of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was part of a lot of the draft guys that he's calling up and playing now. And I know the fans want them to tank, but he would be none too upset if this team that he's put together starts to do just fine. I mean, 13 wins in 20 games, pretty good. And this was unexpected from everybody except maybe him. I think he's really looking at what they were doing, what they've been doing for years, and said, I think I know what guys to get rid of and what guys to keep and put a good team on the ice. So I'm just really – tonight was off. Everything was off. The passes were off. The clears were terrible. They couldn't hold anything in at the offensive blue line. Like, it was just everybody seemed – a few guys were a little better than the rest, but nobody was really good except Wolf. So,
I thought Coronado, Backlund, Sharon Govich were all great tonight too.
Yeah, they were, like I say, some guys were better than the rest, but they're only out there for so much of the night. It just didn't go. I kind of disagree with the watch I said. I don't think that was a Sens win. That was a Flames loss. I think they walked themselves into that loss. It wasn't anything Ottawa did that was special. It's just when they jumped up to block it at the blue line, they did. And Calgary missed it every time, and it went down. And yeah, it was just a really bland game. But you've said it before. You said it tonight. Over 82 games, every team has a good 10 or 12, probably 10 of stinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Through 20 games, they've had one, maybe two that I would say were pretty poor. Everything else, I like the effort. I like the energy. I like where they're going. I don't think they care if they draft 8th or 26th. I don't think Connery cares. He wants to put a team on the ice every night that's going up and up and shows that he knew what he was talking about.
I think
they're doing great.
I think that it's fair to say, I know that it's fair to say that this start was not necessarily what was being anticipated.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if being second in the division this deep into November was something that anybody really had on their bingo card. That being said, you know, the goal was always to play, to put together a team that is getting younger, is transitioning, but is not going to wave the flag, wave the white flag rather, and just, you know, be a horrible team and tank it. And definitely we've been seeing that so far this year, and we'll now 60 games to go. Let's see how it continues, but definitely they've fought hard.
Well, these metrics that we always look at about when you're here at American Thanksgiving, hey, if you're second in your division in American Thanksgiving, you do pretty good generally, right?
Yes.
So things are trending in the right way, I think, now and overall. So I'm just pretty happy with stuff for the first time in about 25 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really all I got, Patty. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay, Jamie. Call back anytime. Appreciate the call, my friend.
You betcha. Take care.
Bye. Let's say hello to Alex on the phone lines tonight. What's going on, Alex?
Oh, not too much. How's the night going, Pat?
I'm doing all right.
So let's talk about that game. Honestly, definitely not the greatest performance, but, you know, you can't bring your A game every night. You try to. The penalties were pretty brutal. You know, you want to win, you got to stay out of the box. Didn't love Coleman's play tonight. I thought Wolf was outstanding. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the penalties just absolutely killed them, 9 of them. I think they ended up because of some overlap. And they ended up, like, killing because also the Sens scored on a couple. I think it was 12 minutes killing penalties in this game. That's a lot of time. So that too much there. Senators have got some talent too. So I think that is that's the biggest area that hurt him tonight. I thought that Coleman, among others, fought it tonight. I thought Coleman fought it. I thought Kadri fought it for a lot of it. I thought Kuzmenko was pretty invisible. I thought the fourth line, Kirkland, Lomberg, and Rooney all fought it. Just a lot of guys that, you know, maybe didn't have it quite to the same way that they have had recently, and that's going to happen over the course of an 82 game schedule. There are some stretches where maybe things weren't as crisp and things weren't clicking quite as much as we have seen over the last 7-8 games.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, my opinion on Kuzmenko this year, he has been a little bit more invisible. He's got the hands, he's got the skill, the shot, he's got everything that you need. He's just not been clicking so far, which I guess would help him with Kadri. Like, I haven't loved Kadri's play so much this year, but, you know, the forwards got to get a little bit more going. The fourth line was great again, obviously. I love Rooney. Kirkland's been amazing. He's been such a big contributor to the team, honestly, not even just on the ice, in the locker room as well. I feel like he brings a really good positive energy. Love his story coming in now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all for me tonight.
Well, hey, no. I mean, and I think that there's definitely, like, whether it's the Kirkland story or other, there's definitely, I just didn't know if you were done or if you had some more to say. So that's why I just was letting you continue. That's, I wasn't trying to wrap you up. Okay, tonight they lose. They weren't great tonight. But generally there's been far more good stories than bad stories through 22 games so far this year, Alex. I'm 100% with you on that.
Oh yeah. Like I'm really loving this team. I really do wish Mantha all the best of luck. You know, that really did hurt the team pretty badly with him out for the whole year. But, you know, I'm loving the D. Like, Bahal's been just a machine back there. Love the way he plays. I'd like to see a little bit more of Barry. We haven't seen him too much. But, I think Miramanov's playing great. Uyghur, Anderson, Ball, like, all just been clicking on the defense. I'm absolutely in love with this team this year.
Yeah. No, and I mean, Alex, I think you speak for a lot of people too. Like, they're a really easy team to get behind, aren't they?
Oh, for sure. I'm not from here. They're not my favorite team, but I've definitely fallen in love with the team. They're just great. I absolutely love the atmosphere that they bring to the arena. You know, everything's just working.
Yeah. It's and that look, I think for especially when the expectations were low going into the season. And then you have a team that just comes out every night and works their tail off. And it's easy for fans to get behind that. And I think that we've seen a lot of this this fan base getting behind the Flames this year. So, and that's going to be their way to continue having success is if they work the way that they've worked so far this year.
Oh, absolutely. They're a team that plays with heart and passion every night. They bring it every day. Like, I can't explain more, but yeah, I'm just loving the way they're playing. I think they could definitely have a little bit more help on the penalty kill, but you know, we can still work through that. We got 60 plus games to go, so feeling all right with that.
Yeah, now exactly 60 games to go after tonight, so 22 Perfect. Down, 60 to go.
There we go. All right, well, I'm gonna let you guys go. I hope you have a great night.
Okay, Alex. Appreciate it, man. You have yourself a great night, and that will wrap us up on the phone lines as well. Thank you for all your calls. Thank you for all your texts on this Monday evening following a 4-3 loss in Ottawa. Steinberg along with you as it's time for tonight's final summary. Here's how we got to tonight's final score. Flames actually scored first in this game. It was a desperate Senators team. Right from the get-go, you could tell the Sens were pretty focused and pretty adamant in snapping their losing skid and playing a really hard-nosed physical game. But despite that, it was the Flames opening the scoring as Jonathan Huberdeau scored a power play goal to make it 1-0 at 14:32 of the first period. Huberdeau's team leading 7th of the year from Matt Coronato and Connor Zeri to make it 1-0. And just like that, Flames have scored power play goals in 4 straight games. However, the 1-0 lead didn't last long. Just over 2.5 minutes later, Senators tie it at the tail end of their own power play. Adam Gaudette makes it 1-1 with his 9th of the year. Gaudette from Ridly Gregg and Claude Giroux. At 17:05, we had a 1-1 tie after 20 minutes of play. Senators take their first lead early in the second period. A power play goal from Drake Batherson, his 9th of the year, from Jake Sanderson and Tim Stützle at 3:18. Senators with a lead they would not relinquish the rest of the night. They'd extend that lead at 13:13 of the middle frame when Cole Reinhardt scored his first career NHL goal. The Calgary product, the Airdrie Extreme product, scoring his first career NHL goal against his hometown team. Cole Reinhardt's first from Gregg and Sanderson at 13:13 to make it 3-1. Flames get one back just over 2 minutes later. Yegor Sharangovich extends his goal-scoring streak to 3 games. He scores at 15:27 to make it 3-2. Sharangovich gets his 5th unassisted. It was 3-2 after 40 minutes of play. Now, the Senators had a power play carrying over to start the third period, and they would score on that power play to make it 4-2. Actually, that's a lie. There was the first period to the second where there was a carryover. It was early in the third period. Sharangovich took an elbowing penalty early on that sent the Senators to an early power play, and they score on this power play at the 1:14 mark of the third period. Kind of the backbreaker in this one, and Brady Tkachuk's 11th of the year ends up being the game winner. Tkachuk from Batherson and Stützle at 1:14 to make it 4-2. Flames do get one back with about 40 seconds to go. Nazem Kadri through traffic makes it 4-3. Kadri 6th unassisted at 19:20 gets the Flames within 1, but they weren't able to get that next opportunity, weren't able to make it 4-4, didn't even really get that opportunity to make it 4-4, and 4-3 ends up being your final score. Final shots were 29-28 in favor of the Senators. Flames go 1-for-2 on the power play tonight. Senators 2-for-9 on the power play. Your 3 stars in Ottawa: number 3, Drake Batherson; number 2, Jake Sanderson; and the number 1 star with the game-winning goal, 2 points and more, was Captain Brady Tkachuk. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Yegor Sharangovich. With the loss, Flames fall to 12-7-3. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Detroit, while Ottawa improves to 9-11-1. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in San Jose. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. As we start to wrap things up on our Flames Talk postgame show this evening. It's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, as I mentioned, Wednesday night in Detroit. Note the start time. It is a 5:30 face-off, which means we're on the air at 4:30 with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have a wonderful rest of your week. As your final score from Ottawa tonight, Flames fall 4-3 to the Senators. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.